meeting last night, and I was driving. Miss Therese was back there, and Lauren was with us, and Granny Kate was with us, and we was riding, and we was about 3 minutes from the church, I felt like. And my dad called me and said, "You're probably preaching tonight, by the way. Just be ready." Okay. Okay. All right. I'll be ready. But we got to singing. Actually, I had to pull over on the side of the road. I was driving. I pulled over on the side of the road. I was like, "Sweet T, you're going to have to come drive. I got to pray. I got to get with God." So she drove us, and my dad showed up, and I'm telling you, he preached the house down both nights. And I tell you what, I love hearing him preach here. But sometimes I feel like he hits another gear when he's preaching out in revivals, you know, and trying to light a fire. And I appreciate my dad and my heritage and my family bringing me up in church. But if you're in John chapter number 11, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, y'all probably already know this story. Y'all probably already know what I'm going to preach tonight. This is a simple message. I'm not going to get up here. I'm not going to wow anybody tonight. But I believe that if we just stick with the Bible, that I believe we're not going to go wrong. Amen. So let's start reading. Let me give you a little bit of background. This is obviously the story of Lazarus and when he has died and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And we all know this story. They come to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, the one," when I was reading this, I never saw it before, but they said, "The one you love is sick." And I thought, that's John. But they was talking about Lazarus. And they said, "The one that you love is sick." And Jesus tarried where he was at for 2 days. Now, I don't know about you, but in my mind, that just don't make sense. Why wouldn't God just run to the rescue and save Lazarus and help him? But he didn't. He chose not to do that. And he came in God's timing. Amen. How many of you know that our ways are not his ways, neither his thoughts, our thoughts? And sometimes we look at it from the outside and we wonder why in the world this is happening. Has anybody ever been there before? And I believe this is where Mary and Martha was. They didn't understand. Lord, you love us. Right here, the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It names them all separately to show that he loved each one of them more, just as much as the other. And he didn't just say, "I love the Lazarus family." He didn't just say, "I love the Howell family." He said, "I love Jake, and I also love Jenny, and I also love Hadley." And he loved these people so much. And so it just made me scratch my head that he did not run to the rescue and come save Lazarus. But he tarried where he was for 2 days and then went and did his work. And when they come and ask him, "Lord, why didn't you come?" He said, "I did this so that the Son of Man may be glorified." And he gets to the scene. And his first question in verse number 34, the Bible says, this is not the first question that he asked when he got to the scene, but he asked this question in verse number 34, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And this is only two words I'm fixing to say, but it's just as powerful as any other verse in the Bible. Verse number 35 says, "Jesus wept." Jesus wept. I'm glad I ain't got a God that just sits up on the throne cold and rules with an iron thumb. But he has a heart, and he knows when we're grieved and when our hearts are broken, his heart is broken. Amen. But in verse number 36, the Bible says, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it." And this is my text tonight. "And Jesus said, take ye away the stone." That's what I want to preach on tonight. Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." And Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. In other words, Jesus said, thank you for hearing me. But I knew you was going to hear me, but I'm just saying thank you so these people that are standing by me know that you're listening to me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Take ye away the stone. Now I want you to notice, I forgot to point this out, but I like it, so I'm going to tell you about it. In verse number 36, the Bible says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And I want to tell you this, maybe it'll come for you tonight. Trials of our faith are not denials of his love. Trials of our faith are not denials of his love. So many times we get in situations and God doesn't do it the way we think that he should have, and we think that God doesn't love us anymore. But the Bible says plainly here, when they were scratching their head, that Jesus loved Lazarus. And though we don't understand sometimes why situations happen, God still loves us. And though we wouldn't have planned it the way he would have planned it, he still loved us. If you have a daddy like mine in here tonight, there's a lot of things my dad did that I didn't understand back then. But today I totally understand why he tore my tail up. Amen. I totally understand why he wouldn't let me hang around that friend, or why he wouldn't let me date that girl, or why he wouldn't let me have a phone until I was out of high school. I didn't understand that then. I would scratch my head and get mad at him. But now looking back, I say, man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You shielded me. You protected me from more than I ever know. And God does the same exact thing. We think sometimes he's mad at us, and we think sometimes that he's hating us and that he doesn't understand where I'm at. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God knows where you are and he loves you where you are. I want to talk about take ye away the stone. Now, this ain't a message that you thought I was going to preach tonight, but it's what the Lord gave me, and this is what I want to preach on tonight. There's lots of times, and I'm not going to mess up the interpretation of the Bible tonight, but I'm going to try to apply it in a way that maybe you've never heard before. But don't get messed up. I believe the Bible word for word the way it's written, but I'm going to try to apply it in a way that we might not have ever heard before tonight. And I'm not saying that y'all have never heard this message before, so don't even go back and say that. But maybe you've never heard it applied like this, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. But there's some things in our life that we hide behind the stone. There's some things in our life that let me say it like this. There's some dead things in our life that we try to hide behind the stone. How many of you know that if you let a dead thing hang out with something that's alive very long, it'll contaminate the live thing? Somebody say amen. It's the same thing in your spiritual life tonight. There's some things in your life that are dead, and you're trying to live lively because we have the bread of life, because we have Jesus, and because he's given us new life in him. We're trying to live lively, but we're holding on to some dead things tonight. We're holding on to some dead things, and we've even gone so far as to roll a stone in front of it and pretend like everything's all right. And we walk around, Brother Jake, like everything's fine, but behind our stone is something dead. And I'm not here to be mean tonight. I'm gonna preach this message with compassion in my heart because it convicted me today. And I'm preaching this to myself, but there's things in my life that are dead, that are from my past, for that old dead man that I used to be, and I'm trying to carry it into the new life that Jesus has given me. And I've even gone so far as to roll a stone in front of it. I want to tell you, every Christian can roll away the stone in their life by following these steps found in John 11. Number one, I want us to notice how can we take this stone away? Number one, we have to show it to him. We have to show it to him. In verse number 34, the Bible says, and this is Jesus talking, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. How many of you know that we are the silliest people on the planet? I think Baptists are, amen. But I'm just going to say, if you're a Christian and if you've been in church any amount of time, you're probably just as silly as I am. Because this is what we'll do. And my dad's preached on it before. We'll hide beer and we'll hide cigarettes and we'll hide this and that from a Christian. But God's watching the whole time. And we're sitting here and Brother Trent, we roll this stone over in front of our dead and our sin and that thing that we know is holding us back from achieving the purpose of God. And we roll a stone over it as though Jesus doesn't know where it is. You think Jesus came to Martha and said, "Do you know where they've laid Lazarus?" I have no idea. No, he knew exactly where it was. And I'm here to tell you tonight, he knows exactly what's behind your stone. And he knows what you're hiding from him. And he knows what you're hiding from the preacher. And he knows what you're hiding from your kids. But guess what? You got to take him and show him to him. I want to say this. I think I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just thought about it, so I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus could have rolled that stone away and healed Lazarus from where he was at. But he came, Brother Mark, he came all the way to Mary because you know why? He wanted Mary to show him where it was at.
That's right.
And there was somebody in here, you're saying, "Lord, take care of my sin. Take care of what's behind my stone." But you're not putting any effort into it. I've struggled with sin in my own life. If you're in here, and if you'll be honest with yourself, each and every single one of us have struggled with sin at some time in our life. And I can tell you right now, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's been sin, Brother Mark, that I couldn't shake. There's been sin that I had a death grip on and I didn't want to let go of it. There's been things that maybe it wasn't a sin, maybe it was a hobby that was holding me back from Christ. And I'll tell you what, mine's golf. Just want to let y'all know, I love golf. And so many times, I love my boy Nick back there. Today I was studying. I was studying for my message tonight, and he said, "Hey, man, let's go play golf." I said, "Man, I want to, but I can't. I'm studying. I'm talking to the Lord." But I struggle with that, Brother Mark. And if I'm not careful, I'll let a sin, I'll let a hobby, I'll let something hold me back from the purpose that God has in my life. And so many times in our life, if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. Amen. I notice, number one, I notice we must show it to him. I notice, let's look at Mary's excuses. Let's look at the excuses that she gave in verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And look what Martha said. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he what? Stinketh." He stinketh. How many of y'all know that sometimes you get embarrassed of your sin? And we say, "Lord, I don't want to tell the Lord about this. It stinks." But guess what? God already knows it stinks. God already knows what you're trying to hide behind that stone. God already knows about it. And so many times in our life, we say, "Lord, you don't want to look behind this stone. It stinks. You don't want to go in here. It's not good." And God's saying, "You silly, I already know what's behind that stone." And I'm challenging you here tonight. Roll that stone away and give it to God. Take ye away the stone. I noticed the excuses. She said, "It stinks." I noticed that it stunk, but Jesus still loved her anyway enough to help her. Amen. I noticed the excuses she gave. She said, "It stinks." But then she said, "For he hath been dead 4 days." He has been dead 4 days. Now, I got to studying in this, and you preacher boys are like this. But there was, and back in these times, in the traditions of these times, they had these old sayings, kind of like we do today. They had these old fable tales, right? And they would say that the soul of man would hang around the body for 3 days. And on the fourth day, it would leave. In other words, what she's saying is not even the tales that they tell. Well, there's no hope. He's gone. He's not coming back. In other words, what she's saying, "Lord, it's too bad. It's too bad. You can't fix it this time, Lord." But Jesus said, "Take me to it. Take me to the stone." And Jesus found out what was behind her stone and helped her with it. I noticed, number one, the excuses that she gave, but also noticed the expectations that she had. And this is where I've already got in front of myself. They were wanting God to handle it while they did nothing. If you'll read in verse number 32, the Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, 'Lord, if thou hadst been there, my brother had not died. Verse number 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? In other words, they're saying, Lord, what are you doing? You should have taken care of this way before he ever died. You should have come through and you should have done this. But how many know that God expects some effort out of you? And God's not, I think I got sidetracked a minute ago. I was telling a story. But I had sin in my life. And I had that sin in my life and I didn't want to turn loose of it. Brother Franklin, I held on to that with all I had. And I held on it and it was holding me back. I knew it was holding me back. My family knew that it was holding me back. My friends knew that there was something different about Dalton. But Dalton was the only one who knew what was behind the stone. And I was holding on to what was behind my stone. And I tried. I'm telling you, I couldn't shake it, Brother Mark. I tried to shake it on my own. And I'd say, all right, I'll go 3 or 4 days and I won't do it. And I'd fail every time. I'd say, all right, I'll go 4 or 5 more days and I can do it. And I'd fail again, Brother Buddy. This is the answer, though. Y'all ready for the answer? I took Jesus and said, Lord, I'm tired of hiding it. This is it. And then this is what I did. I started reading my Bible and I started praying. And how many of you know that Bible and a little bit of prayer will run the devil off? Amen. And I'm thankful that he did. I got a story to tell you. Me and my wife, we have an attic, but we don't use it. And we have a guest bedroom, and we call that the attic, okay? Because we only need 2 bedrooms, so we have that extra bedroom. And I would hate for any of you to walk into that room. You'd probably get 8 or something. There's some scary stuff in there, all right? If you open the door, brother, I have a whole, I have an armor that I put on, Brother Franklin, before I open that door, and I have a spear, and I go in very carefully. But we call that best bedroom our attic, Brother Travis. And when people come over to our house, the first thing my wife does is she takes off running across the house and slams that attic door. Does anybody else have a room like that in their house? Y'all make yourself at home, but don't go in that room. Trust me. Anybody else like that? Or am I the only one? And she runs and slams that door, and it's got Christmas in it. It's got an ironing board in it. It's bad, y'all. And anyway, she runs and slams that door. And she literally says to our guests, look, there's the bathroom, there's the kitchen, there's the couch. Do whatever you want to do, but don't go in that room. And I laugh every time. We're actually starting to clean it out now. Y'all pray for us. And so I got to thinking, how many times is that the case with God? And we invite God and we say, come on, Lord, I want you to live. I want to live for you. And he says, all right. He says, I like the couch you got in here and a nice kitchen you got. And you say, whoa, 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 Lord. Whoa. Don't go in there. There's some spider webs and some skeletons. And there's some things behind that stone you don't want to see. And God says, hold on a minute. You said I could live with you. This is my house as much as your house. Why can't I go in there, Lord? There's some things in there you don't want to see. And how many of us tonight, you gave God the key to the kitchen. And you gave God the key to the laundry room and to the living room. But there's that one room that you won't let him in. I'm here to tell you tonight, he already knows what's in that room. And if you'll just give him the keys, you'll be surprised at how much work he'll put into cleaning that room out. Let me ask you this question. Have you showed it to him tonight? I noticed, number one, she showed it to him. But number two, I noticed she stood on him. She stood on him. She believed him. In verse number 39, the Bible says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. I already read that. I'm going to go to verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. What's God saying right here? Do you want me to help you get what's behind that stone out of there? You got to believe me. You got to trust me. You got to believe in what I'm telling you is true. Amen. I noticed that she listened to his word. In verse number 23, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In other words, what God's saying right here is, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. When you got something dead in your life, when you got something that's nasty in your life, when you got something that's holding you back in your life, I'm the one that's going to deliver you. Trust me, because if you believe in me, then I'm going to bring what's behind that stone out. And you can tonight you can bring what's behind that stone. You can bring it out. I noticed that she listened to his word, but also that she learned from his works. I don't have time to go and read all the verses, but we all know that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were very close to Jesus. If you'll read the beginning of this chapter, you'll realize that Jesus loved them very much. I've already talked about that tonight. And so they spent time with God. And they walked with God and they talked with God and they saw the many miracles that God had done on his ministry here on earth. And they saw the many things that God had done. And so many times in our life, we know that there's something behind that stone, but we don't believe God can handle it. But if we just look back, Brother Mark, at the things that he's already handled, as we look back on the blind that he's made to see, as we look back on the lame that he's made to walk, and we say, Lord, you can't fix my dirty mouth. You can't handle this. And God's saying, look, I've handled way worse than you. I handled this man that was a maniac, that cut himself, had demons in his body, and I cast those demons out, and when I left, he was sitting clothed and in his right mind. And when I came back, there were so many converts that had been led to the Lord because of him. I'm here to tell you tonight that the hope doesn't end with you. Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you've been this week. You say, well, I've grown up in church and people expect more out of me and they think that I'm perfect. No, we don't. Amen. We don't think you're perfect. We know that you're not perfect. And we all have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every single one of us have sin in our life. And so many times we say, Lord, I know you can heal the lame. And I know you can make the blind to see. And I know you fix that maniac. But I don't know if you can fix me. I'm here to tell you tonight, God can fix anybody. It don't matter what's behind your stone. You say, you don't know what's behind my... I don't care what's behind your stone. Jesus cares. And he loves you. The Bible says, while we were what? Yet sinners. That means even though we were nasty, Brother Herman, even though we were sinful, Jesus still marched up Calvary and died on a cross for you and I. He didn't look at Brother Trent and say, hey, he's just been too bad, and maybe I'll move on to somebody else. He didn't look at Brother Chris and say, he used to be an atheist, but guess what? I don't think I can convert an atheist. But the man sitting here tonight on his way to be a missionary to spread the gospel across the nation, what am I trying to say? God can save anybody. It don't matter what's behind your stone. It don't matter what you're hiding. God already knows, and he loves you enough that he'll fix it. And I don't know about you, but there's been sins in my life, and I've looked and I said, God, Lord, I'm embarrassed, but I don't want you to know about this. And God's saying, son, my dad says all the time, if I ain't got power to forgive all sins, I ain't got power to forgive one. If you believe he forgave all sins, say amen. Amen. I believe there ain't a sin too big for him. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. I believe there ain't nothing too big for God. Let me ask you this question. What are you believing to take your stone away? What are you standing on? I noticed that she showed him the place, but also I noticed that she stood on him in faith, but also I noticed that she surrendered it to him. What's the Bible say in verse number 44? And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I noticed there was a releasing in verse number 44. This is the loose part. Y'all are wondering why God said loose him and let him go. How many of y'all thought that was the same thing? I was reading and I said, Lord, what's the difference? I mean, that's the same thing. I was reading, I said, loose him and let him go. I believe every word in the Bible is there for a reason. And so I was scratching my head saying, why, Lord, why'd you say it twice? Well, then I did the preacher thing and I started going back to the root words, Brother Franklin. And that loose means to unchain or to unshackle. I call this regret. Because I need to get y'all two, come here. Zach, Dalton. Come here, strapping young lads. This is the release. I'll deal with you in a minute. You just stand right there, okay? This is the release. This is loose. Y'all ready? All right, this is what we do. All right, God brings our sin out. All right, that hobby that's holding us back. And this is it right here. Are y'all with me? This is what we do. We come down to the altar and we say, Lord, I got this sin that's holding me back. Take it away from me. Help me with it. Lord, I need you. Can't do it without you. That's what we do. Anybody ever done that? Lord, this sin, I can't shake it. Anybody ever done that? I've done it right here. Okay? And then God, this is what he does. He sets us free, Brother Mark. And we're unshackled. And then we go back to our seat. We're unshackled. We're unchained, Brother Mark. But guess who's still following us around? How many of y'all know that you might not be tied to that sin, but that sin's tied to you? And this little old guy, he's evil, ain't he? Look at him. And he'll follow you, and he'll stay within in arm's reach because, Brother Buddy, he knows before long. What's up, man? I ain't seen you in a while. Good to see you, brother. And we come back down the altar. Lord, help me with this sin. Anybody else had that problem besides me? Y'all looking at me silly. All right, so that's what I call regret. That's what I call regret. This is the releasing. We released him, but he's still following us around. All right, you can go sit down. Then I see, number two, the rebuking. I want to read this definition because it just got me happy today. It says, this is the Greek, this is it right here. Y'all ready? Rebuking this, let him go. If you look up the root words of let him go, this is what it means. To send away or to send forth or to keep no longer. Now, this isn't regret. Somebody help me. What is this? Repentance. First of all, we released him. Now we're releasing him, just letting go of it. That's just regret. Because sooner or later, you're going to grab it again. Rebuking. This is what happens. Come on, we're going to the altar. Lord, help me with this. It's holding me back from serving you. This is what happens. Y'all with me? And so many times, we're just regretting our sin, but we're not repenting from our sin. Has anybody else done that before? And I've been to youth camp, I've been to reality check, I've been to church, and God has convicted my heart, and believe it or not, I regretted it so bad, Brother Mark, that I've sat down here and wept, knowing that I was wrong, knowing that I needed to do something about my sin, about that thing that was in my life, that was behind that stone. But all I was doing was just releasing it. I was just loosing it. I wasn't letting it go. And Jesus says right here in the story, he says, I want you to loose it, But I also want you to let him go. And there's a difference between loosing and letting him go. Loosing is just letting him hang around and just not holding on to him. That's regret. How many of y'all ever regretted a sin? Let me help you. That's not repentance. And I've done it. I'm just as guilty as anybody. And I've said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake. You know why? Because I didn't want to get caught. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. If you'll give me another chance. And I let that sin follow me around all week long, Brother Herman. And just in 2 seconds, when I was ready for it, guess where it was? Right there. But Brother Mark, I came to a place where God said, hey, it's me or whatever's behind that stone. And I had to come to a place where I not only loosed, but I had to let it go. I have an illustration, but I can't remember what it was. Thank you, Zach. I'm fixing to be done. That was my illustration. Let me ask you this question. Are you still carrying around the things you know you shouldn't? How many of y'all got a stone in here tonight? I know I do. And I know God's saying, hey, take me where that stone is. And I'm saying, Lord, you don't want to know what's behind that stone. Lord, you're not big enough to take care of what's behind that stone. Lord, if I let whatever's behind that stone out, somebody might find out about it. God's saying, look, the Bible says rebuke the devil, resist the devil, and he will flee. When you get fed up with sin, that's when you rebuke it. Regret ain't doing you no good. I wonder if there's somebody in here, Miss Donna's going to come to the piano. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight. You say, Brother Dalton, it's not a sin, but there's a hobby. There's something that there's a phone. There's a phone behind my stone. There's a friend behind my stone. And you're saying, I had a man tell me one time, he used to go to church here actually. He said, don't tell nobody about your sin. Just keep it right here because that's your secret place. He was a member of this church. He told me that. How many times are we guilty though? Well, nobody saw that. I'll just keep it to myself. As long as you don't tell nobody about it, nothing will ever happen. What's the Bible say? Your sins will find you out. And what you're doing is you're just letting it fester and letting it fester. And then sooner or later, what's going to happen? It's going to pop. God's saying, look, I can get that out. I can get that splinter out of there. I can get whatever's behind that stone out now. And it'd be a lot better if you would just give it to me now. But so many times we say, Lord, you don't want it. I'm embarrassed. You don't want to know what's behind that stone. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight. The altars are open. I hope I didn't sound mean tonight. I was preaching myself. I wonder if there's somebody in here, you say, you know what? I'm tired of just loosing this thing. I'm tired of just regretting this. I'm ready to let it go. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight that needs to take you away the stone. Need to say, you know what, Lord, I'm tired of hiding it. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of it. It's holding me back. I wonder if there's somebody in here to come down and say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. When she took Jesus to where that stone was, whatever was behind that stone came out. And the Bible says that many believed on him because of what Jesus done. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight. Somebody's going to believe on Christ when you get rid of what's behind your stone. You're going to help thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ when you get rid of what's behind that stone. How long will you hold on to it? Amen. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight, and you're sitting there and you don't know what's going on. Your heart's about to beat out of your chest. You're thinking, what in the world have I got myself into? I'll tell you something. Maybe you've never been saved before. Maybe your sin's on the other side of that stone. You sit there tonight and you say, if I was to die right now, I'm just not sure where I'd spend my eternity. You don't have to go to hell tonight. If you die without knowing where you'd spend your eternity, you'll spend your eternity in a place called hell. And I hate to say it, but I can tell you this, there's hope. I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight and you say, if I was to die right now where I sit, listen to me. Please listen to me. If I was to die right now where I sit, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity. If that's you, I want you to just make eye contact with me real quick. Is there anybody like that? Just make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I ain't going to call you out. I just don't know where I'd spend my eternity. Is there anybody like that? If I was to die today, I don't know where I'd go. Anybody? I'm not going to take long. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for the service we had tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we not just regret what's behind our stone, and we not just let loose what's behind our stone, but we'd let it go. Lord, we rebuke it. We'd send it away. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the one, Lord, that's struggling. Lord, I know how it is to struggle. Lord, they want to let it go, but they just can't. Lord, I pray that you give them strength, Lord, to take you where it is, give you the key, and let you do what you do best. Lord, I thank you so much for loving me. I thank you for letting me preach. It's the joy of my life. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, this week. Lord, I pray that you'd help my family this week. Pray that you'd touch the family of the Carter family. Lord, as they struggle, Lord, as they go through this loss, this trying time in their life, Lord. Lord, I can just imagine, Lord, there's a lot of question marks. Lord, there's a lot of hurt. Lord, I pray that you'd comfort him in knowing that he's not in pain, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help him, Lord, get through this. Lord, and we'll thank you. Lord, I thank you for this church, their faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for our pastor as he's ministering to another church tonight. God, I pray that you'd do a mighty work over there tonight. God, I pray that you'd save souls. Thank you for saving souls last night. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us as we go our separate ways. Lord, somebody's going to go home to a stone. Lord, somebody's going to go home and they know they're going to run right back into that stone. Lord, I pray that you give them the strength to roll that stone away and let you have whatever's behind it. Lord, because there's something greater in their life on the other side of that stone. Lord, I thank you so much for loving me. Lord, I thank you for this church once again. Thank you for the leadership in this church. Pray that you'd help us, love us, keep us safe as we go away. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.